Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 16. All right, so we're going to begin in Matthew 16, verse 28. Now, this verse should actually have been Matthew 17. It says, "Verily I say unto you, there are some be standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." So he says, there's some standing here that you're not going to die till you see the Son of Man come in his kingdom. Now, the scholars didn't know what to do with this because they're looking at this thing in this realm of time. It's like, how can this happen? And they're saying, not taste of the second death. They're all over the place with this. What he really is saying here, he goes, there's some standing among you with me right now. You will not taste death until you see the Son of Man coming in his second coming. Now, for the most part, people are looking at that like, how can these things be? Then they go into this whole realm of the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter actually writes about this. You can go read it later in the second book of Peter. He writes about his encounter he has on the Mount. And he talks about, he goes, we are not those like that are ministering old wives' fables. We were eyewitnesses. We had a more sure word of prophecy. And we were eyewitnesses of his coming. And we beheld his glory. Beheld the majestic glory. So something happened when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, that when they got caught and they saw the Lord in his glory, they were all translated to the end times. And they saw it because Peter testified of it in chapter 2 Peter 1 and chapter 3. He talks about how they witnessed this second coming glory based on this Mount of Transfiguration. That's why he said, there are a few of you here that are going to see me in my glory, because I'm going to reveal it. That's what it was saying. So when they got caught up in the glory, they saw that. What actually happened here, we look at chapter 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, here's the ones he was speaking of. He takes Peter, James, and John. He brings them to a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them. And his raiment like the light. White as the light. In his face it shined like the sun. What actually happened here was the Lord completed man's redemption 100%. This is why when the Father overshadowed, because he stepped into his own glorification. And when he did that, he stepped into mankind's glorification, because he was carrying all of us with him. He was carrying us not only to the cross, through the cross, into the resurrection. He carried the entire body of Christ that day into the fullness of a restored image. There's only two times God spoke audibly to this degree. He spoke a couple other times, but what he said, this is my son, when the Holy Spirit came over him, because he was now introducing the new covenant that was going to produce the sonship, that was going to produce the heirship, that's going to produce what we're talking about here. And so he says it again in verse 5. He says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. That was the Father. That was the Holy Spirit. The Father come down and beheld a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. The reason why the Father spoke that day is because the Lord had entered in to man's restoration, the completion of the Father's will, the restoration of mankind into the image of God. He not only was representing, he entered into it. And they saw it. Peter, James, and John beheld it. Moses and Elijah were there. They beheld it. Everyone, law and the prophets and the church, all witnessed mankind's full restoration. Spirit, soul, and body. The glorification of man. Finished, completed, done. That's why he said, I'm well pleased. This is what I'm looking for. This is ultimately what I want. Man's restoration in Christ, the image completed. Isn't that awesome? What you see there is a picture of not just Christ, but you. Christ in you. Say, Christ in you. The manifestation of the glory of God. Now, this is where we've been tracking for a little while. And I want to take us back to Genesis. And then I'm going to take us back into this transfiguration life. Because we've kind of named this generation resurrection. We are the generation that's going to see this glory manifested in a moment's time. I'm just going to venture to say it, not one single person here is going to die before we see the glory of God manifested. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, before we're all taken up, God wants to represent and testify of the coming glory. Because he wants everybody to go on the first train load. You know the different train loads in the last days. We talked about this the other day on a Wednesday night. In the book of Revelations, there's three major references of a great harvest during the tribulation age. That's not you. There's another great harvest before that. Because God wants, in this dispensation of grace, to close out the ages, the rule and the reign of the kings and priests, his church being crowned, administrating perfect dominion, royalty, glory, the ministration of the King of Glory, and the testimony of the King of Glory before we're lifted out of here. We're not leaving here as a broken down bride. We're leaving here full of glory. And we're going to say, why did you take us? We weren't ready to leave. But there's a testimony of grace going to be given to the world before we're taken out of here. And we're going to look a lot differently than we look now. And the reason is because what you're seeing on that mount is going to start manifesting in and through us. And I'm sharing today the approach that he's sharing with us of how to move into this life. This life cannot be attained in our own strength. It cannot be obtained in works. You can't ever be good enough to have that kind of life manifested. This is what Paul was talking about in Philippians chapter 3. You can read about it. He goes, listen, I was a Pharisee. A Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, I was blameless. I could keep the perfection of law. I mean, if he was a woman, he'd be Miss Goody Two Shoes. Mary Poppins kind of thing, you know. He was perfect. Do you know what it takes to be perfect in the law? He said, I count it all but dung. That I may win Christ. That I may know him in the power, say the power of his resurrection. That any means I might obtain the resurrection of the dead. Because for this thing I press on to the mark of the high calling of Christ that is in Christ Jesus. The high calling, according to Paul, was not the high calling to be in front of people, the high calling of obtaining a resurrection. I'll just go over there and look at it for a minute. Say the high calling of obtaining. We are a generation. If we're going to obtain it, we're going to have to understand some mysteries of how to obtain it. Now, I understand the Lord is going to call everybody. But before he calls everybody, in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, there is a generation, the glory is going to be seen upon them. For that glory to start manifesting, there's mysteries involved. It's not just going to fall. There is something that will cause that to be released from us. And that's what we're getting into. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're tracking in. That's where our train is. Philippians 3. So Paul's talking about this. And we go into this. Those things were gained to me. Verse 7. Doubtless, the exonology have not suffered all things. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Paul, which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable in his death. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain to what? the resurrection of the dead. What was he wanting? He wanted the Elijah resurrection. Paul wanted it. In fact, Paul lived so far out in front of his time. He lived so far out there. He was trying to, in Hebrews, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, because there's a lot of things said. You had compassion on me and my bonds. Whoever wrote that book was in jail a lot. I mean, it just had his writing. It had his mark to it. But in that book, he said that I may obtain the resurrection. Elijah obtained that. Oh yeah, because Paul was saying, let us go on into what? Perfection. He saw another day for the church. He was called as an apostle to lay the foundation. I used to forever want to be one of those guys. But now I see what God has designed for our generation, and I realize they would trade places with us in a heartbeat. Because we are the generation to get to show the final crowning glory of God. They laid the foundation for it. He was a foundation builder. And he was a master foundation builder. But he went and excelled so far into God, he started seeing another day for the church. He goes, let's leave these fundamental things. He's not saying dismiss them. We got to come off the foundation. We got to go into another realm. There's something else out here I'm looking at. I'm experiencing. Let's go, baby. Let's say, let's go to this perfection, because he was living in the right hand of God. He was experiencing the glory. He was looking into our day. He was looking in the day that God was going to reveal the life, the resurrection life. He was going to reveal it to a whole generation. He was going to reveal it before we're all called out of here. God was going to testify, the day is at hand that salvation will be complete in mankind. Just like it was in Christ when he entered that resurrection. Now we won't be entering resurrection as walk around resurrected 24 hours a day. Make no mistake, you'll be in heaven if that's the case. But that doesn't mean the glory won't come upon your body, make you shine like the sun and break out and display of the glory of God. Because Isaiah said it would. Isaiah said, show me your glory. And God said, okay, I'm going to show it to you. Your generation, I'll show you the glory. In Christ's generation, I'll show you the end time glory. Which was Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, thy light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. The glory of the Lord is seen. Not just risen, seen. Made a distinction, the glory would be seen on a final end time people. Manifested sons and daughters of God, declaring the glory of God. In voice, in body, in spirit. In the midst of the grossest darkness, when the enemy's trying to change the image of mankind. Oh, he wants to change the image. If you see what they're doing now, they're so forcible with it. Wait till they get to the tribulation age. I believe they're going to make everyone bow down to it. Bow down to that image, or you cannot buy or sell. You'll not be a part of the economy of the world. Whatever image it is, that's what they're driving right now. With that said, they entered, they saw the glory, they saw the manifested light. Christ revealed that. Now, what we're after is what he's saying. It's a prelude to the time where we're all called out of here. Amen? The time when we're called up into the realm of glory in the twinkling of the eye. The Bible says that doesn't come on you. The Bible says that's revealed from within you. Go to Romans 8 for a minute. This is the glory of our generation. And the enemy fighting it. He'll always fight it. But the just will live by faith. Because we're not just calling this thing. We're walking up into it now. All right, Romans 8. And we will begin this whole book. Let me just look at verse 2 for a minute. For the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ. Now, I won't get into a theological debate with you right now, but that is not the Holy Spirit right there. The law of the spirit of life is what Christ purchased for you to be born again. It was a law of life. The Holy Spirit uses that law to recreate your human spirit. He passed from death to life. It's the law of the spirit of life. Christ purchased that for you. That's why they said we beheld the life. They beheld it in him. That law is working in you. It's what rewrote your spirit. It's how you went from death to life. That's why you're not a sinner saved by grace anymore. You were a sinner. You're saved. Now you're a bona fide son, a new creation. Say, I am a new creation. He rewrote my spirit. Now you still have a soul that has issues. You still have a body that has issues, but your spirit doesn't have issues unless you allow it to be taught the wrong way. Your spirit man can be taught the wrong way. Hallelujah. So the law of spirit of life. Now, that's important. I want to just drop down to verse 17. Now say, if you're children, then you're heirs. So you go from orphans, the children, the sons, the heirs. Boy, that's what Paul said. He told Paul, when he's standing in front of him, he says, Paul, preach inheritance to those that are sanctified. Remission of sins to the lost, inheritance to the saved. And if you be heirs, joint heirs with Christ. If so be we've suffered with him, we'll be glorified. What? There you are. I keep telling you the Mount of Transfiguration. You were there with him. He stepped into his glory, the glory of his own resurrection. You were heirs together with him. You were glorified together because he's entered into his eternal glorification. He came back into his body, but he manifested that day. Why? Because he was in the Father. And whenever the Father's present, you can move into the realm that was, the realm that is, or the realm that is to come. He just stepped over beyond the cross into his glorification and they saw it. You were glorified what? Together. Look at that word again. I want you to see that. Verse 17, he says, if children, then heirs, heirs of Christ, if so be we've suffered with him, that we may also be glorified together. I have been glorified together.
Well, I know it's going to happen.
No, it already happened. If you're going to have the kind of faith that's going to see it manifest, you got to know it's already done.
I want some more confirmation.
All right. Verse 29. Let's just back it up. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. You, he foreknew you. He predestinated you to be conformed to the image of his son. Moreover, whom he predestinated, he called. He called you what? To the cross. To whom he called, he justified. How many were called to the cross in here? Do you know before you were ever called, he foreknew you? You know forever foreknew you, he predestinated you? He foreknew everybody. Everybody was predestined. Everybody was called. And those who were called to receive it, they were justified. You had to respond to the call. How many respond to the call? I responded to the call. I walked that death walk to the altar, John Osteen's church. To whom he justified, that day he was justified. To whom he justified, what's he say? Look at your Bible. To whom he justified, that day I was glorified. It hasn't manifested yet because we're in this thing called time. But in the Father, it's manifest because I was glorified together with Christ. He already entered into my glorification. He showed it to the law. He showed it to the prophets. He showed it to the church. I was glorified with him. And the Father came and he spoke and said, this is my son. I'm well pleased. He carries the image of what I want man to be. This is your image. This is who you are. Look at him. That's who you are. Manifested light. Manifested glory. Manifested power. We are the generation that must reveal that to the world. The manifestation of the sons of God revealed to the world before we're taken out of this planet. They're going to see the glory of God. Not just signs, miracles, and wonders. They're going to see it on you. They're going to see we're a whole generation that's going to receive transfiguration. It'll come in and out. Your body will go in and out of it. The glory will be revealed. Notice what he says here. Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which what? Shall be revealed where? Where? He's talking about resurrection body. When he said the glory is being revealed, he's talking about the resurrection coming into our body. It says it's going to be revealed from where? In us. Meaning it's already in us. Meaning it's already there. It was deposited in you when he justified you with the law of the Spirit of life was deposited in you. You got phase one in your spirit. Immediately your spirit was called out of death into his marvelous light. That phase two is coming in our generation. God will speak the word and phase two will immediately, bam, your body's born again. Eternally, life, your soul, your will, your emotions. Never, ever, ever, ever to experience darkness again. Verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the what? First fruits of the Spirit. That should be first fruits of the law of the Spirit of life. He's talking about that thing that happened to you when you were born again. That first one. There's a second phase coming. It's already programmed inside. We groan in ourselves waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. That thing's groaning inside because phase two is coming. We're the generation of manifest phase two. Meaning it's there in the Father. It's finished in the glory realm. It's finished in the face of God. It's done. Christ already manifested. I was already glorified together with him. Meaning I can have faith for this now. Now it's a seed. Think of it like a seed. That has a tree, and then it has fruit. So phase one manifested when you were born again, when you made your death walk. If we're going to get born again, my body is going to get born again. My body is going to experience some resurrection. Now, God had a lot to say about this in the very beginning when he promised a seed would come. And in thy seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. In thy seed, in blessing I bless, and in multiplying I multiply. Now the seed is Christ. We're specifically talking about the life today, but whatever you identify Christ to be, what I'm about to say to you will pertain. But this is where God's directing our faith right now. So go to Genesis 22. We are standing in this every day. Because I don't stand on this side of the equation. I stand in the face of God in the done side of the equation. What does it look like? What does Matthew 17 look like when you meditate Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration? Face shining like the light of the sun in its strength. What does that look like to you? Look at verse 16. And said. Here's God. He had already spoken this thing about this seed in chapter 12, 13, 15, multiple times in 17, 18. Now he is manifesting and culminating here in verse 16. He said, By myself, I have sworn, saith the Lord, because you've done this and not withheld your only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply, say, thy seed. As the stars of heaven, the sands upon the seashore, and thy seed will possess the gates of his enemies. And thy seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you obeyed my voice. Now, God is not promising here. He's swearing. He swears to himself. Because in Galatians, he says, not as seeds of many. Go to Galatians for a minute. I'll show you this. I'm going to show you how to have faith in this realm. So whatever you identify Christ to be, whatever your revelation of him, whatever that revelation is, God the Father has sworn to multiply. Christ in you is different with anybody. Some of you, that just means salvation. Christ in you can mean love personified, peace that passeth all understanding. Christ the King in you, Christ the High Priest in you, Christ the living waters in you, Christ the living word in you, Christ the kingdom of God in you. There's a lot of things that pertain, riches and glory. So whatever your revelation is of that is what will be multiplied. Amen? Now, we're specifically speaking about the life today. So in Galatians chapter 3, let's look at verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man can disannul. This is the covenant he made with Abraham. Now to Abraham and his seed, the promises were made. And he saith not the seeds as a many, but as of one, into thy seed, which what is? Christ. Who was God speaking to in chapter 12 of Genesis 13, chapter 15, chapter 17, chapter 18, chapter 22, chapter 26, chapter 32? Who was he speaking to? Christ, the inheritor heir. The Father was speaking down through Abraham's loins. He made a covenant with himself. So he says, because I could swear by no greater, I swore to myself. And who's he speaking to? The Father had to call a man up into the heavens, Abraham, but who he was really speaking to is this one down here in his loins. I will multiply thee. I will bless thee. I will set my king on the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree, thou my son, this day I begotten thee. I'll raise you the right hand of God. You'll ask of me the nations and I'll give them to you. The innermost parts of the earth, I'll give them to you. I'll reassign the earth to you. I'll reassign all the wealth to you. I'll reassign my image to you. You will bear my image. This is my image. And whom I'm well pleased. This is what this covenant produced. This image. And he manifested that image on the Mount of Transfiguration. So when he could swear by no greater, God said, I can't swear by any greater. I swear to myself. Father's going to swear to his son, because they're one, through Abraham. Abraham was called the mediator. Now, mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. A mediator usually mediates two parties. Who was the mediator? He was mediating covenant between the Father and the Son. Come up here and stand in the middle of us. A mediator is not a mediator of one, but you're going to mediate a mediated covenant between me and my Son because we are one. You're going to stand between us and I'm going to swear some promises through your loins. And I'm going to swear to this one down here. And when he comes, I'll manifest it all through him. Amen. Let's give God glory. Now, she swore to do this. So Christ comes in. He is the seed. He says, not seeds of many, but Christ. So he manifests the glory. He manifests the image. So on the day of Mount of Transfiguration, this is what I was looking for the whole time. Man's full redemption. Then he says in Galatians, same chapter, down below, verse 29, if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. You are the heir of all those promises. If you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs of everything I'm doing with him. He is the prototype image of everything I'm doing. He's the new Adam, the last Adam. He holds my image. I'm well pleased in him. He holds your image. You're already complete in him. He's already taking you into the glory. You were raised together with him, made to sit together with him. You were given all the riches and glory in him. Everything I did with him, I do for you. You're joint heir to him. Say, joint heir. Amen. So being joint heir, it's your revelation of who that heir is, what he is, who he is. Mary had to get a revelation on the day Lazarus was raised because she's standing in front of Lazarus. He goes, my Lord, this time he stinketh. I know. He said, did I not tell you I'm the resurrection? And he said, Lazarus will rise again. And she said, yeah. I know in the day of the resurrection, he'll rise again. And he said, I am that resurrection. I am the life. Your revelation of that life. And he manifested that life that day. He took the day of resurrection and he called Lazarus out of the grave with it. He said, I am that day. And what he's saying, I'm not bound by an event that's in front of you. Now get what he's saying here. Because he's going to call Lazarus that. She goes, I know he'll rise again at that day. Let's call it post over there, that day. You're not at that day yet. But he said, I am that day. I'm not bound for an event that's going to take place in a future position in time. And neither are you. And today I'll show you Lazarus is not bound by a future event that's going to take place. Yes, he's supposed to rise again in that day, but I'm going to pull that day into this day. Or I'm going to pull Lazarus into that day. It doesn't matter. He's coming out of that grave because I don't have to wait for that event. What is he saying to us? It's already complete. To him he justified. To them he already glorified. We don't have to wait for that event to manifest it now. Because he already swore to do it. He swore to manifest the life. He swore, even Christ, the life came. He said, I came that you might have life. Now we preach it, we might have lifestyle and lifestyle more abundantly. You can have that too, but that's not what he's talking about. He goes, I came that you might have life. I'm coming to bring you life.
Well, I'm saved.
No, I'm coming to give you life. The waters I'll give you, you'll never thirst again. I don't think we've touched the life. I think it's up in our spirit, we know. But I think God wants to bring this life out. Promised in Ezekiel 47, a river would come out of the temple. And this glorious water would come up from within. He that believeth on me, out from his innermost being would flow water. And this water would flow to the Dead Sea. And he said everything that was dead would live. A river of life. That river is going to come out of us in this last hour. Those waters of life are going to manifest. Now here's the key. If life flowing out of you, it's not just the anointing. The anointing can flow out of me. And I just go back to who I was before the anointing. But if life flows out of me, I'm being transformed by the same life that's coming out of me. It's different than an anointing. Anointing will bypass you because it's a gift and a calling without repentance. But life doesn't bypass you. Life's got to come through. And when the life's coming through, I'll have me some of that. While I serve others, I'll have me a drink of that too. While I serve others, I'll have some of that emotional wholeness. I'll have some of that wholeness of heart, mind, body. I'll have some of that same anointing that got up in Sarah and Abraham when he turned their body back into the time of life. Marched them right back. You know, in heaven, people who go there said, you can tell the resemblance of people with great age, but everybody looks like 30, 33. All the people who go to heaven, they all look the same age, even though you'll see the age on people, but they're all very youthful. Why? Because he rolls them all back. So, in prayer, we utilize all these. This event that's going to happen is already in me. I already have the first fruits of this. To whom you already justified, in the Father you've already glorified to me. somewhere in the Father I've been glorified. I've already was glorified together with Him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Therefore, I speak to the rock inside of me. Grant me this life abundantly. You are the resurrection. You are the life. I call these glorious waters to multiply. Let the rock of Christ stand up in me as a fountain of life and give that water of victory. And while I'm saying that, I go stand in Christ and I see the light of the resurrection coming out of Him. And I call the law of the Spirit of life, Father, and I'll stand in the face of the Father. You swore to multiply this one inside of me. I'm not asking you to multiply me. I want you to multiply this one inside of me. Multiply. Listen, this last generation, the devil's going to multiply the darkness and God's going to multiply the light. There's going to be serious multiplication across the board. If you don't believe He's multiplying darkness out there, just take a look. That stuff is moving fast out there. But this light is going to move a whole lot faster. Because all we need is the breakout and the understanding how to carry this realm. A glory and start accessing what is already ours. Because I don't have to wait for Lazarus' day, no more than he had to. I know a day's coming where my body's going to be resurrected. But I can hear Christ inside of me say, I am that day. I am that day. I'm living up in you and I am that day. Speak to the rock. He'll give forth his water. Speak to the rock. Out from our innermost flows a fountain of living water. This is what we're after right now. What Paul could not obtain to, we are going to obtain. Some of us are going to obtain a resurrection before the resurrection. Because as soon as that life starts manifesting, we've obtained it. Now I know it won't stay on me permanently, but if I get me some, I'll get me some more. And I'm after all of it. Because the day he already set out from your innermost being will flow a fountain of living water. The glory is within. It's within. Look at your neighbor and say, the glory is within. I don't have to look anymore. That's why he said, he that believe on me out from his innermost being will flow the waters. He is going to find a generation that will believe upon him. I'll close with this. Go to Psalms 24. When I started getting into the face of God, something changed the way I prayed. And these words, they call you now. To another place. The words calling you to the realm that is to come. The words calling you to the transformation of the Most High. There's a transformation for our generation like no other. Ushering in the King of Glory. This whole chapter is about this. For the sake of time, I won't get into it. Just this one part. Verse 3. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who will stand in His holy place? He that had clean hands and a pure heart had not lifted his soul to vanity or sworn deceitfully. Paul kept the law perfectly and he didn't qualify for that right there. He said to be found in him, not having my own righteousness. He kept the law perfectly and it was not enough to have the clean hands and the pure heart that God was looking for. You cannot be good enough to obtain that verse. It has to be obtained by only one person. Christ alone already obtained it. I don't have to do it. All I have to do is get into Him. I make the exchange. I make the exchange. I get up into His righteousness. I get clothed. I get justified. I wear His robe. I wear His glory. I wear His righteousness. I get bona fide one with Him. Amen? He will receive the blessing of the Lord. That's an end time blessing. If you really understand what that blessing is, that's the crown right there. And look at this. The righteousness from the God of his salvation. Wait a minute. I have to have clean hands and a pure heart to have clean hands and a pure heart. Did you get that? Who will send the hill, Lord? He that had clean hands and a pure heart so he may receive righteousness. Wait, I got to be righteous to receive righteousness? You see how that works? No. He says to get there, to get what he's talking about, you're going to have to obtain the clean hands and a pure heart. You can't do it. Christ did it. Get into him. Assume your position. Stand in the Father, in the glory that's been given you. Stand in the righteousness of Christ, in the Son who's already well pleased. I don't need to do no well pleasing. He's already well pleased. I'll just go stand in him. Cover me. hide me in yourself and take me up to the Father. So the Father don't look at me, have him look at you. Because if he's looking at you, he's well pleased. I'd rather the Father be looking at Christ than me, right? If you're hidden, you go up in there, he'll see Christ. He said, oh, bring him in. Welcome him in. Come on in. What you want? Oh, I want the blessing for our generation. And I want that righteousness you're talking about. What's that? That's manifested glory. That's the manifested righteousness, the body. That's the manifested life. Generation resurrection. This is the generation. Next verse. This is what we'll close with. See, this is the generation. Lift up your heads, O you gates, you everlasting doors. Lift up your heads. Who's this King of glory? Lift up your head, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory will come in. There's a generation that's going to usher him in. Lift up your heads, say, O you gates. See, this is the generation, verse 6, of them that seek the Lord, that seek the face, O Jacob. True translation is seeks the face of the God of Jacob. That was a very specific reference to what happened to Jacob when Jacob went before the face of God. This is a generation that seeks the face of the God of Jacob. He's talking about a generation that's going to go before the face of God just like Jacob did. That was the time he changed him from Jacob to Israel. We are a generation that's going to receive transformation. But there is a crowning glory that's going to take us all the way in. A crowning glory that's going to unlock the treasuries of Christ. Unlock all limitation. A crowning moment where we step into the face. Why? Because he's not dealing with you where you are. He's dealing with you where Christ is. And he's going to take you into the finality of Christ. And he's going to usher you into the finished work that's already been done for you. Which you're already complete. You're already glorified. You're already justified. You're already forever perfected. I mean, all this stuff. You're holy and without blame before him in love. Forever perfected before him in love. He presents you faultless. All these realms that are already done, he's going to invite you into the done realm. Everyone say, take me into the done realm. We go past where we are. He's bringing us to the day. Amen. He's going to start manifesting this. And this is how faith is going to work in the last days. We're going to get to go into the finished realm and obtain. As you stand in this realm trying to obtain something, you'll be there a long, long time. So we don't have to wait. We do have to wait here, but not there. But it's a lot easier to wait here if my spirit can go there. Because if my spirit can go get fed, I can wait a lot. Otherwise, I'm going to be a grizzly bear waiting here. But now that my spirit can go over there and get satisfied and filled, changed everything. Changed the way we pray. Changed our destination. Some people, when they go to pray, their pursuit is to get into the presence of the Lord. And once they get the presence of the Lord, okay, that's it. Hallelujah. My pursuit is to get into the finality of his will that's in a future position and eat from that place and live from that place and have him feed me. When you understand what I'm saying there, this is how we're finding the life that's already been given. We're going to obtain the faith to manifest this glorification. Why? Because Romans says we were already glorified together with him. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah!